Reason for that is a few of us are going to go out again into the city centre. So just to give you a heads up, that if you remember a few weeks ago, I think it was Palm Sunday, we went up into the city centre to do some praying. So our hope is on the fourth Sunday of the next few months, there'll be an opportunity to go out and pray up in the town hall square and around Chester. So that's what we're going to do in a few minutes. But we're going to just root that back into the book of Acts. So if you've got a Bible, please turn to it, find it. It's in the New Testament. It's the fifth book in, if you're not quite sure where to find it. So it's towards the back end of the Bible. And we're just going to be in Acts chapter 1. And we'll just go off from there in a few moments. So just want to read a verse to you. We read this a few weeks ago, but it's one of the foundational verses in the book of Acts. So it's Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So Jesus is talking, and he's talking to his disciples. And I'll just pick it up, just to give it a bit of context, on verse 5. So Jesus says, he's talking about John the Baptist. He says, "For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." So you'll know that over the last few weeks and in the course of this exploration of the book of Acts, we're looking at this question. It's a question that's really vexing me a little bit. It's a question I keep thinking about. I keep thinking about it in the context of Hull Baptist Church and the church that we're trying to be, the church that leading us to become. It's this question, isn't it? How was Jesus able to equip a group of uneducated men and women to do the things he did and to be like him in such a way that when he sent them out, they changed the course of human history? And I really want us to be history makers. I want us to be people who can change situations through God, working in us and through us. I don't want us just to be a group of people who do church on a Sunday and are nice people. One of the things I wanted to sort of ban is this concept that Christians are nice. It's much more than that, isn't it? Surely we're more than just being nice people. If we're just nice people, then we're missing the heart of the book of Acts. And the context in this is, as we've been looking at this framework of covenant and kingdom and the up, the in, and the out. And I want to just think about this verse again in that context of the out and thinking about us thinking outwardly a little bit. And the way that Jesus got his disciples to think outwardly, and it was almost a natural progression for them. One of the things that I've been doing is I've been reading through the book of Acts, and I've been trying to read a chapter a day. That's been my goal over the last few weeks, is just to keep reading through the book of Acts. And I've been trying to read it by actually getting into the story a little bit, just thinking about the disciples, thinking about the people who are in the story and what's going on in their lives. And if you remember, here's the disciples right at the beginning of the book of Acts, right at the start of this amazing 30 years. And one of the most sobering things that I was thinking about in one sense was that over this 30 years, this group of apostles, their lives would change so much. Some of them would be martyred. Some of them would be killed for their faith. Most of them would have to move location because of persecution. They would not be living a life that would be the same. And Jesus wants them to know that. Jesus wants them to know in this verse the context of covenant and kingdom. Covenant is the relationship. Covenant is the commitment that God makes to us. And the commitment in this verse, verse 8, is that God commits to give us the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's the commitment from God. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Our response then is that we are to be witnesses. And that's what I want to think a little bit about this morning. I want to think about the concept of witnesses involving all of God's people in all of God's mission. I think the truth is, this is what we think when we start talking about this. Oh no, not evangelism. And that's the honest reaction in all of us. That's the honest reaction in me. When we start thinking about the out, we start thinking about ourselves. We start thinking, well, that's not me. I'm not an evangelist. That's okay. You don't have to be an evangelist. Okay? That's the first thing that you need to slay. Okay? You don't need to be an evangelist to do the out. The second thing you need to slay is that you don't need to be an extrovert. Again, we perhaps have this image in our heads that an evangelist, somebody who's going to be thinking outwardly, is going to be more of an extrovert personality. Somebody who can talk to people a little bit easier. That's not true. The truth is that you just have to be yourself. That is the truth. You just have to be yourself, and yourself in the relationship that you have with Jesus. Because what Jesus is asking us to be is witnesses. I suppose what he's asking to us is, can I get a witness? Can I get somebody to be a witness? And a witness is somebody who sees something happen and then they tell other people about it. So my question to you and my question to us is, what are you seeing God do right now? What do you see God doing? What do you see God doing as you maybe look back a little bit into your life? You know, what's God done for you? What have you seen God do in your life? And what are you seeing right now? Is there a story that you can tell? Because a witness is somebody who just has the ability to tell their story. And I think that's all that God asks of us, actually. He doesn't ask us to become evangelists. He doesn't ask us to become extroverts. He just asks us to be individuals who are in a relationship with Jesus, who then have stories to tell. That's the way we witness. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 is a significant moment in the story. And up to this point, from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7, everything that's been happening has been happening in Jerusalem. So the story up to this point has been the story of Jerusalem and what's been going on in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8, we get introduced to Saul, who comes and becomes the main character of the book of Acts from chapter 9 onwards. But here in chapter 8, the disciples who are living in chapter 8 didn't know that this Saul was going to become Paul in chapter 9. They didn't know that. Problem is, you know that if you've read it. But they didn't know that. And what's going on here is that a persecution breaks out against the church. This is Acts chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2. And a great persecution came against the church, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. I think what's really interesting here is that, and some commentators would argue this in the way that they would make a commentary on Acts, is that God had always intended, hadn't he, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that they would be there, they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria. But for seven chapters, their focus has been primarily on Jerusalem. So if you pick it up here, what happens is that the persecution comes, and then everybody except for the apostles were scattered. Where were they scattered? Throughout Judea and Samaria. And some commentators argue that that the persecution that came was allowed by God so that the Christians then would begin to take this message beyond Jerusalem. That actually they were getting a little bit too focused, using our language, on the up and the in. They were enjoying the fellowship and the friendship that they were having. They were enjoying meeting together in one another's homes. They were worshipping God at the temple. And lots of people were becoming Christians. Yes, there was the apostles had been arrested a couple of times, but for most of the Christians, they were just becoming Christians and life was becoming fulfilled. There's lots going on. But here in Acts chapter 8, what happens is that a great persecution breaks out. But what happens in verse 4 is that those who have been scattered, they preached the word wherever they went. So here these disciples now scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, and everywhere they went, they talked about Jesus. I think that's what it means when it says they preached the word. The word is Jesus. John 1, 1. It's not that they had a Bible, because they didn't have a Bible. They had some stories from the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament written, but they wouldn't be preaching the Old Testament. What they would be doing when it says they preached the word is that I think they were talking about Jesus. And that's to me, I want to encourage us to demystify and to strip away the threat of being evangelists or evangelizing, and just encourage ourselves to be people who talk about Jesus. Do you think we could do that? Because that's what the out is all about, really. It's those opportunities to talk about Jesus and to demonstrate who Jesus is. I find it fascinating when we go back to Acts 1 verse 8 that Jesus, when he speaks to disciples, he says to them that you will be my witnesses. He doesn't just say you will be witnesses. He says you'll be my witnesses. And I think it's important to remember that, because for me, that is again about this covenantal commitment, the relationship that God has with us. That he makes that commitment that you are my witnesses. He commits himself to us. He's with us in it. There's a covenant reality. And that covenant reality is expressed in the fact that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says in John 15, let me just read this to you. John 15, and I think it's verse 25. No, it's not. I can't find it at the moment, but it's in John 15, I think, of around that point, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit to his disciples. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, don't worry about what you need to say, because he will give you the words that you need to say. That's my paraphrase. Maybe you need to go and find it. But it's a verse. There's definitely a verse there. I'm not... John 16. So go and look for it. It does say it, honestly. I'm not making it up. And it's saying, go, you know, that when you're with, because God is with us, there will be those moments where he will give you the words to say. He will empower you to do what you are doing in terms of being witnesses. One of the reasons why this church is so committed to doing community mission, doing community projects. And the church runs a building in Hull. Many of you will know this. The building's called Hull Lighthouse Centre. And lots of activities run in Hull Lighthouse Centre. And they run for a purpose. They run so that we can serve our community. And so we run Parents and Toddlers, which is called Sparks. And Ali Jones and a team lead that. And we have Trackers on a Thursday night. And Andy Avery and a team lead that. And then there's De Biz with the older youth. And there's Who Let the Dads Out. And there's lots of other little things that go on in the Lighthouse Centre. And they're all projects that we're doing. Because as we do stuff for people, what we're looking for is the question that will come is, why? Why do you do that? And it's really important when the question why comes that we then can talk about it's because of our faith. Lots of community projects are taking place, whether that's in our Lighthouse Centre, whether it's CAP, whether it's street pastors, whether it's food banks, whether it's Crossway Football Club, whatever it is, all those things are vehicles to enable us to demonstrate the love of God, yes, but in it, to actually be encouraging the question, why? Why do we do the things we do? And we need to build that confidence to be able to tell our story. This is why. This is why I have a great love of football and I'm involved in Crossway. But actually, football's not my greatest love. My greatest love and passion is my relationship with Jesus and what he's done for me. I love serving people by, you know, the commitment of street pastors, of going out between 10 o'clock at night and 3 o'clock in the morning. Great commitment. And it's at that point where they just serve, they don't preach, they don't tell anybody off the way that they're behaving or because they're this or they're that. People are just there. And when they get the question, why, that's when they get the opportunity to say, well, why are you on the streets at 1 o'clock on a Friday night? It's because of my faith. And it's really important that we remember that we don't just get ourselves into doing good stuff. We don't just get into doing community action. But the community action is leading us into being witnesses. Witnesses. And there's nothing more powerful than your story. Nobody really can deny your story. The way that you encountered Jesus Christ, the way that he has impacted your life, the way that he has done stuff for you and through you. It hasn't got to be, you know, the sort of really powerful, you know, sometimes we get people up with testimonies and they've been on drugs, drink and rock and roll and God saved them. That's great to hear that story, but it's all stories. It doesn't, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a really bad past. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're all saved. We've all been saved. And so all of our stories have power. And I want to encourage us, in telling our stories, what begins to happen in the telling of our stories is that we begin to recognize people of peace, persons of peace. And this is one of the teachings we're doing on a Wednesday night, so I won't go into this too much because Ed is teaching on this. But you know, to recognize a person of peace, basically you've got to be willing to take the risk of meeting a person of unpeace. Okay? To meet the person of peace, you've got to have the willingness to take the risk to meet the person of unpeace. In other words, people of peace are those who welcome us, receive us, and take hold of what we're talking about when we tell our stories. There'll be some people who won't want to do that. And that's, in one sense, that's okay. The Bible says we can pray for them, but we don't have to pursue that relationship. We need to pursue the relationship where people are going to receive us. This is all in Luke 10, and this is the teaching, like I say, that Ed's bringing. So, why are some of us going out? We're going to go out now because time's almost gone. Some of us are going to go out on the streets. And the reason I go on the streets is I'm not an evangelist, okay? I'm actually an introverted extrovert. Okay, so I'm actually quite an introvert, if you get to know me. And I quite like being on my own with no people. That's basically an introvert. But one of the reasons why I've been going out on the streets and wanting to do some praying and meeting people is that I felt God wanted to challenge me to do something that completely takes me out of my comfort zone. Okay? Not that I expect that's the only way that God's going to work, because God will work in lots of ways, and that's the thing. But what this does for me is it puts me in an environment where I can step out of my comfort zone, I can cross the line of my own comfort zone, so that the way I see life outside of going on the streets, when I go about my daily business, I'm thinking much more outwardly in the way that I meet people. So if you want to come and join me and Sam, we're going to go out there now. We're going to do it for the next 50 minutes, and we're going to go up into the city centre. While we do that, then people here are going to continue to worship, pray, listen to God. So you take a minute. If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. No pressure, no guilt. It's completely up to you, okay? But it's all part of us as a church thinking more outwardly.